Again, good morning to everyone. Good to be with you all. As we open up our Bibles and we look to God's Word to be reminded and also to be encouraged by His greatness, His goodness, His authority, and the love that He has shown us in Christ Jesus our Lord, displaying His desire for us all. And so this morning we're going to be looking at a few things from talking about God's authoritative word. He has the final authority, and the thing about His authoritative word, it is timeless, it is unchanging, it's forever. And so it will stand. And so we need to find out what God says, the lessons that we learn to apply in our lives to serve Him better. If you have your Bibles, if you will turn to the book of Judges. In Judges chapter 13 through 16, it is there we learn about the life of Samson. Samson is a good example of what happens when we defy that authority of God. He also is a good example that we can learn from of not to take the things of God for granted, but to take advantage, to serve God to the best of our abilities. We're not to take it for granted His gifts, His blessings. And we saw Samuel, we will see that Samson did this, that he took for granted God's blessing of power. But in spite of the weaknesses and failures, His authority will accomplish His purpose. It will uphold us even when we stumble. When we make the necessary changes in our lives, then, yeah, we will rise back up. And looking at Samson, that is what we see. And so often we are like him. We take for granted God's blessing. We take for granted the time that God has given us. We take for granted one another sometimes. And sometimes we take for granted the blessings of the material things that we have and even our health. We take them for granted and we don't grow in appreciation for what God has done and who He is. And we need to be reminded of those things that will bring us back to His Word so that we can see God and renew on a daily basis our love for Him, seeing His love for us. In Judges chapter 13 and verse 5, we do get the call or the announcement to Samson's parents that they are going to give birth to him and that he is going to be a Nazarite. And so in looking at these verses, I titled the lesson this morning, God upholds even when we stumble, looking at Samson. Because God's call to Samson is so that Israel could be delivered from the Philistine oppression that was happening with them. And as we have mentioned on other occasions, the cycle that Israel was in of being disobedient to God, and then what God would do is allow the oppressors to oppress them. Then they would cry out for help, and then God would send them a deliverer. And it was God Himself who was delivering them. But the people would lose sight of that. And then the others would then do the same thing and fall into that cycle because they took for granted what God had done for them in giving them the land of promise, the conquest that took place, God fulfilling the promise of bringing them to this land, and they would lose sight and take for granted those blessings. And so in chapter 13 and verse 5, when he is told, notice the Nazarite, his parents are told that no razor shall come upon his head. And there are some other things that is listed in regards to the Nazarite, when they would be dedicated wholly to the Lord. In Numbers chapter 6, verses 3 through 6, and actually all the way down in the chapter, verse 8 there, you'll see that list of things that would is associated with being a Nazarite. Not to drink any or consume no vinegar. That is the fermented fruit made from wine or strong drink, nor shall he drink any grape juice, nor eat fresh or dry grapes. And one of the things was they were not to come in contact with anything that was dead. And we see later on in the life of Samson how he violated those things over and over again. And what God did was Samson being dedicated to him would give him the supernatural strength to accomplish his will in delivering Israel from the Philistines. But Samson, in his thoughts and his ways, was sort of like almost a carefree spirit. When he was approached by a young lion, God's spirit came upon him and he has the supernatural strength and he rips the lion apart. And later on, there was the honey that was in the carcass of the lion. And what does Samson do? He goes over and he gets the honey out of the carcass. He eats it. And the thing is, he didn't tell his parents about that. Why was that the case? The case was he knew that they would tell him you were not supposed to do those kinds of things. He would get reprimanded for that. And there are other things that Samson would do that would violate those things of what God required of one who was a Nazarite. As pointed out, again, no razor was to come upon his head. And so in the call of Samson and all of that, showing God's authority, we learn from this that God chooses and empowers for his purposes. Yes, he chose Samson. And looking at the life of Samson, we see the flaws and the failures. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on in the lesson. But God chooses and empowers for his purposes. And we see example after example of this in scriptures. Notice again with God's spirit coming upon Samson and he has that supernatural strength. God provided him with what he needed in order to deliver Israel from the Philistine oppression. In Isaiah chapter 6 and also in Ezekiel, but in Isaiah chapter 6, God calls Isaiah to go and preach. And one of the things about that, what God did in the preparation for Isaiah is remove his sins. To take his guilt away. And so here is Isaiah going out and proclaiming God's word. And then Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 8 in particular, as Ezekiel is called to be a spokesman for God, a prophet. And notice how God prepared him to accomplish his purpose. God says, "Behold, I have made your face just as hard as their faces." Because God knew the challenges that Ezekiel would face. And God says, "I'm going to make your face as hard as theirs. And your forehead just as hard as their forehead. Like emery, harder than flint. I have made your forehead." You see, God calling these individuals and supplying them with what they need in order to accomplish his purpose. In Psalms chapter 40, verse 6, the Hebrew writer takes this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. And he talks about in Jesus, the Word coming in the flesh in Jesus Christ, a body was prepared for him to accomplish the redemption of mankind. That body would suffer. It would be put to death, and then he would be raised from the dead. So God, when he calls and chooses, he supplies us with what we need to accomplish the task. For us today, as his people, God supplied his word for us. And in his word, what it does, it equips us for every good work. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy in that letter that he writes to Timothy about the inspiration of his word and its profitability for everyone. And then he goes on, and we even learn about our relationship with God. Since we are God's chosen in Christ Jesus, God has prepared us with his word to equip us to proclaim his excellencies. And that's why it's important that we continue to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of that will of his word. And the warning or encouragement for us is to not take it for granted, to take advantage of it and learn and apply it, and then help others to come to know the true and living God. And so you have all of these examples of where God chooses and empowers for his purposes. And there are other examples. You can take Paul himself, God choosing him on the road to Damascus, and then prepared him for the things that he would suffer and giving him the strength that he needed. In choosing the disciples who would take his word to the uttermost parts of the world, God supplied them with what they needed. They needed the Holy Spirit, and God supplied them with the Holy Spirit that led and guided them into all truth. And as we say, we have these things recorded for us. And so from Samson being called and looking at the life of Samson, his failures, but yet God had prepared him and supplied him with what he needed to accomplish the task, even though he took it for granted. And so that brings me to the second point. The second point of that is God's authority continues despite our failures. It continues. It will not be prevented from being accomplished, so it continues. The failure of Samson was his desire for women. And in this, remember what he does. He marries a Philistine woman. He sees her and he tells his father, they said, why don't you find someone from the daughters of the people? And he says, no, I want this Philistine woman. I want her. And he ends up marrying her. And notice of what happens is she is then taken and given to another. And then the Philistines come, and what they do is they kill her and her father. And this enrages Samson. And so what he does, he took fire, set the field afire, and it burned, and he slaughtered the Philistines. And yet, in that failure of wanting a wife from among the Philistines, God used that occasion to punish the Philistines because of what they did. And then even with taking the honey and eating it and going on his way, that's another failure of Samson. In chapter 15, notice again, as I talked about him taking the fire and setting the fields of fire, notice in verse 18, and he struck them ruthlessly with a great slaughter. Do you see what God was doing even in Samson's failure? In Samson's flaw? He was punishing the Philistines, and it was being done. And so God was using those failures and those flaws to accomplish his purpose. That's the God that we serve. He is awesome. And again, his will not be denied. When you drop down to verses 15 through 17 of chapter 15, what does he do? He takes the jawbone of a donkey and he slaughters 1,000 Philistines, or 1,000 men with that. Yeah, this is the one that got it. Chosen. This is the one who chose a Philistine wife and then ends up wanting also another woman, Delilah. So you see those flaws. And it came to the point to where with Delilah, as she was being used by the Philistines to find the weaknesses of Samson. And she did. And what he would do is jokingly, and in his mindset and in those flaws, he would tell her the weakness, and she would say, "Well, if you bound me with rope, flax real strong, they can conquer me. That's my weakness." And the Philistines would come in, and as they listened to her, and what would he do? He would slaughter them. Over and over again. Until finally, after her begging him to tell the weakness and saying, "You don't love me if you don't tell me." And he told, "If you shave my head." And so he fell asleep. She shaved his head. And in the mind of Samson, taking what God had given him for granted, "I'm going to deliver myself," when she yells, "The Philistines are coming," and he jumps up and he realizes that the Lord had departed him. Yeah, the Lord departed him. And now he's taken captive. Taking for granted the blessings of God and carrying out the will in his life. And in spite of that, God doing that anyway. Because that was his purpose. His eyes are then poked out. He is humiliated. He is then used as entertainment among the Philistines. And it just so happened that they had all gathered themselves together for this event of making a spectacle out of him. And finally, with Samson, he realizes this thing is serious. And he is guided between the two pillars of the mainstay of the arena, and he talks to the Lord to give him the strength that he may die and avenge the taking out of his eyes. And God answers. And so what we learn from that concerning God's authoritative word, repentance brings mercy and restored purpose. And there's a reason why I'm saying this. And you might say, "Really?" Yes, there's a reason. Because over in chapter 16, remember that when he says, there in verse 28, "Lord God, please remember me." Notice that. "Please remember me." Even though Samson was taking these things for granted, now, Lord, remember me. Where did we hear that phrase before in our studies? Remember the thief on the cross, the one that recognized Jesus? Lord, remember me when you enter into paradise. And then Jesus says, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Here is Samson telling God, remember me. And God answers. He says, please strengthen me just this time, O God. You see, before, as Samson was taking for granted the strength that God was giving him, realizing the source came from God. That's where the source of the strength came from. As he followed the Nazarite vow, as he followed the Nazarite rule, but taking it for granted and then having his head shaved and God departing, now he remembers the true source of his strength. So strengthen me just this one time. This time, oh God, that I may at once take vengeance on the Philistines for my two eyes. And it tells us when Samson did this in verse 30, that the dead whom he killed at the death were more than those whom he killed during his lifetime. Think about that. All of those individuals that were defeated by the hands of Samson and the strength of God that God gave him, the slaughter of the thousand with the jawbone of the donkey, and then turned around and with a ruthlessly and slaughter of the Philistines there. And then it tells us that he did more there than he did in his lifetime. It's amazing, isn't it? When we really put God first, when we recognize the authority of God and his word and make it intentional that we're going to serve him and serve him only, that we're going to follow his instructions and his instructions only. The accomplishments that can be done. And some of those accomplishments are unknowing, but knowing that God is there and God is accomplishing them and his authority is standing firm. And so what we see in all of this of the authoritative word of God and God having the final authority and how it fits into the life of Samson, God chooses and empowers for his purposes. God's authority continues despite our failures. Repentance brings mercy and restored purpose. How do I know that? That restored purpose, mercy and restored purpose. Appreciate Brother Lynn reading those passages from Psalms 37. But when you look at those verses 23 and 24, the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. When he fails or falls, he will not be hurled down because the Lord is the one who upholds or who holds his hand. I believe Samson was not hurled down. The Lord held his hand, especially when he says, Lord, remember me and strengthen me. Recognizing the true source of power, that we find Samson mentioned in Hebrews 11 in verse 32. What more shall I say? In this list of faithful individuals, and the Hebrew writer then turns around, and what more shall I say? For time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson. that he's mentioned in chapter 11. And so when I read a psalm like Psalms 37, and there are those times when I take for granted God's blessings and God's gift, that I need to be more intentional. I need to be more connected, more aware of the God that I serve, be more aware of his purpose, be more aware of his directives, his instructions for my life, and in my failures. And I recognize those failures and return to the Lord, that he is going to provide mercy and restore me to my purpose in serving him, of proclaiming his excellencies. That's what it's about. So in spite of your failures, when we return to the Lord and put our focus on him, he's going to extend mercy. He's going to hold us by the hand and help us to accomplish our purpose of serving him and reaching the pinnacle of what it's all about, eternity with him, uninhibited fellowship. That's God's desire for all of us. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. O Lord, our God, we see that your authority, your will be accomplished regardless of our failures. And we ask you, Lord, to help us to be aware of those things, to be aware that you are the one that provides us with what we need, that you are our source of strength, that you provide for us because of your great love that you have towards us. And we thank you for that great expression in your Son, Jesus, who gave his life for us, that we could become your children. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your loving care. Thank you for walking with us and upholding us through the things that we face and showing us the great love. And help us to display that to others as we grow in our relationship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you are not a Christian, you can become one. The grace of God is expressed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sin has separated us from the Lord, and because of that sin, what awaits us is eternal punishment, and God doesn't want that for us. God wants us to be with him, because the penalty of sin is being judged. It's death. And it shows our need for a Savior. And God, in his mercy, in his grace, provided Christ Jesus, our Lord, who died in our place. His word was recorded so that we could read about the great works of God, seeing God at work and his authority and what he is able to do. And in spite of our failures, will help us to be better than we were yesterday, that we have hope for the future as we serve him. If you've left him, we want to encourage you to return to him before it's everlasting too late. You see, if you're not in him, you need to be. And the only way to do that is by responding in faith, repenting of your sins, confessing him as Lord, and then be buried with him in baptism, where your sins will be washed away. You will be restored to the purpose. And as you walk with the Lord, he will strengthen you and give you all that you need to accomplish that purpose. And so this morning, if you're subject to the invitation, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that's indicated.